This Sunday, the Gospel provides us with the only glimpse of the childhood of Jesus. We've skipped about 12 years since last Sunday, and you thought time passed quickly in your life. Only Luke records any information about our Lord's childhood. We've just heard about the encounter with the elders in the temple. And we get an insight into the life of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Now, I suppose if I asked children in the Sunday school to tell me about the Holy Family, they would tell me about the Virgin Mother, so tender and so fair. Perhaps about St. Joseph, so bearded and strong, and the young Jesus looking very, very handsome. Almost like a picture preserved under glass, so that no smudge of the world's trouble will ever touch it. But if we stop to think about the Holy Family of Nazareth for just a minute, we will recognize that although it was a holy family, it was not a particularly happy family, at least as far as the world measures happiness. Remember, this was the family so persecuted that it had to leave town and hide out in Egypt. This is the family where the boy was lost in the big city, and the mother brokenhearted with worry. The family where the foster father Joseph died and left the widow and the son alone. This is the family where the grown-up son was arrested as a criminal and put to death by capital punishment on the cross. Now, would anyone call the life of this family happy? And yet, this is God's own family when he lived as a man amongst men. And it's important to remember this truth about the Holy Family, because every family has problems. Every family. Even the most prestigious family, the ones where the brass knocker gleams so brightly on the door and the drapes hang so rich and the rooms filled with fine furniture. It might be an out-of-control daughter, a wayward son, an alcoholic father, a mother with emotional problems. You could take a bundle of tags, let's call them trouble tags, and tie one on practically every door. You can try a green one on that door because their trouble is debt and their need is money. You can tie a yellow one on that door for sickness and for all the care and sacrifice which this demands and which only love can lighten. That door might have a red tag for sullen hatred, a case of bad blood that is slowly poisoning the whole family. That door there might not seem to need a tag, but don't be too sure. Maybe the problem is deeply hidden. And even the families of the saints had their trouble. St. Elizabeth of Hungary had a husband who was insanely jealous and hypocritically unfaithful. St. Thomas Aquinas, a monk, had a couple of brothers who sent a harlot into his room to tempt him. Possibly she was an old flame of one of the brothers. But St. Thomas fixed her. He took a burning stick from the fire, and with this new flame drove the old flame out. St. Bernadette of Lourdes' parents were poor as church mice. St. Teresa of Avila's father went blind and then mad. Every family has its troubles. And I bring up these people not only to make that point, but to drive home the point that sometimes these troubles, used correctly, can weld a family together. In my experience as a priest, I know that often it's money and prosperity that separate a family, but sweat and tears that keep them together like binding cement. Think of these stained glass windows in this room. Actually, look at this one over here where we have the boy Jesus teaching in the temple. If you look at that glass, you see a pageant of deep scarlet, cool green, mellow gold. But if you look more carefully at that window, you see that through that riot of color, lines of lead solder. And it's those dark lines that give the window its very shape and meaning. More than that, if we were to take those black lines out of the window, it would fall apart as a meaningless shower of glass. And the same is true sometimes with families. It's the dark and heavy lines of trial and trouble that hold the family together. Out of mutual sorrow grows mutual love and mutual help. Here's the complication. When a great crisis strikes, family devotion is often beautiful and generous. But what about ordinary life? You know, if Sheila undergoes an emergency operation and needs a transfusion, her sister Joyce hurries to the hospital, eager to give blood. But the very day before, when all Sheila wanted was not Joyce's blood, but Joyce's blouse, all hell broke loose. So many of the little kindnesses of life, the little bright ball bearings that make life run smoothly, we reserve for strangers. Tom is yelling at his sister, but when the phone rings, he picks it up and says, "Hello," with only friendliness in his voice. And you know, by the way that he's talking, that the person on the line isn't a member of his own family. But surely our family deserves our best self too. So whenever, for whatever reason, God lays a cross on a family's shoulder, some members are no help because they're used to going through life with a chip on their shoulder, their own aggressive self-interest, like Johnny the Jealous, who sees life through the green glasses of envy and is always fuming that he never gets his due. Or Sally the Stubborn, whose words, "I've made up my mind," are like a key turning in a lock. Or Peter the Impetuous, who's always spoiling to get into an argument. Or Mike the Moody, who ought to wear a weather vane on his head to tell you how he's feeling today. From the likes of these in our homes, good Lord, deliver us. Give us instead a family whose family ties are like the ropes of a mountain climber, so bound together that if one falls, all the rest dig in and help him up. And what goes for our earthly families goes for our parish family as well. We ought to be seeking to imitate the Holy Family of Nazareth, loving God, loving our fellows in good time and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. Trusting that when this life is past, we will come to those inexpressible joys which God has prepared for all those who love him. Let us stand and, in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.